The Human Podcast features weekly service audio from the Unitarian Universalist Metro Atlanta North Congregation of Roswell, Georgia. Please visit us at human.org.
Here, compassion is our shelter, freedom our protection from the storms of bigotry and hate. In this abode, may we find comfort and courage. Here may our sight become vision to see the unseen, to glimpse the good that is yet to be. Now let us light our chalice together. You can join me, please, using the words found in your printed program. Let this purest of flames kindle in each of our hearts a pledge to justice, a commitment to freedom, and a reverent awe for the crystalline glories that sparkle along our footpaths. Today's service is inspired by the UUA's Article 2 Purposes and Covenants Statement, which was drafted in late 2022. From the section on values and covenant, love is the enduring force that holds us together. As Unitarian Universalists in religious community, we covenant congregation to congregation and through our association to support and assist each other in engaging our ministries. We draw from our heritages of freedom and reason, hope and courage, building on the foundation of love. Love inspires and powers the passion with which we embody our values. There are six shared values described in this statement, and today our focus is on the shared value of pluralism, which is described this way. We celebrate that we are all sacred beings, diverse in culture, experience, and theology. We covenant to learn from one another in our free and responsible search for truth and meaning. We embrace our differences and commonalities with love, curiosity, and respect.
Today's reading from our sources is from Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become servants to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. This ends the reading of the words inspired by the ancient and still ongoing search for truth and meaning.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alex. That was wonderful as always. And that piece had a lot of serenity, which is exactly what I need before I'm about to speak in public. So a special thanks. Morning, folks. Y'all enjoying the weather? Yeah, well, this kind of takes me back some years ago. Y'all may remember Reverend Dave was up here, and he was talking about summer. It was a day like this, and he said, you know, I had a conversation about my relationship with summer. And I said, Summer, I think maybe we need some time apart, you know? A weekend like this kind of reminds me of that. Anyhow, I love this place. I love human. This is my village. You people are my tribe. I love being here on Sunday morning. And so I just wanted to start with that thought because of our readings today. Both our ancient source reading and our more modern reading from UUA, both focused on love, okay, which is, you know, I agree with the Apostle Paul, these other virtues abide, but the greatest of these is love. It is the greatest virtue. So having settled that, can we end the sermon and pass the plate, sing a hymn, hang out at the coffee pot? Well, not quite, okay? I have another point I want to make, and that is, even though I personally consider love to be the greatest of all the virtues and the thing that we should prioritize, I want to offer maybe a little bit of a radical thought here just for your consideration, your UUs, you can think what you want, liberty. And that is that even though love is our greatest virtue in UUism, it is actually not our defining virtue. Okay, now hang on before you throw me out. Okay, and the reason I say that is even though it is the greatest virtue and the virtue that we should prioritize, we don't have a monopoly on that. That is the highest virtue celebrated in the healthy side of every religion I know about. It's a virtue we have in common with many other congregations, and thank goodness we do. If UUs were the only people in the world who practiced love, I think the world would look very different, okay? And an example would be right here in the metro area. You know, we've got Ebenezer Baptist Church. I mean, those people do fierce love at a level that gets you the Nobel Peace Prize. I mean, and we've got like a family promise, say with the Roswell Masjid, Northbrook United Methodist. We all believe very different things. Those beliefs are important to us. They matter. But we come together to do the work of love together with family promise. So I would like to offer for your consideration, even though love is our greatest virtue, it is not what defines UUism as a separate religion. It's not what we stand out for. I would like to suggest that secondary virtue that we do better than anybody in the world is liberty. So I want to talk about that today. But I want to be clear that I consider liberty to be a secondary virtue. Love comes first, okay? So liberty. So what I want to talk about is I want to sort of go over some definitions of liberty because, you know, it means different things to different people, okay? And then I want to talk about, in the past few years, there have been some criticisms of the concept of liberty. Okay, I want to talk about that. Then I want to mention the impact of the recent Supreme Court decisions, particularly on abortion, about, you know, what, you know, it's almost like be careful what you wish for. You don't like liberty? Okay, we'll take it away. And then I want to talk about possible solutions, because I think there are some possible solutions to the recognized problems with personal liberty. And then I want to elevate it up to a religious principle, because after all, folks, this is a church. This is not a civic club. We do things that civic clubs do, but this is a house of worship, okay? We are a religion, okay? So first of all, okay, what is liberty? All right, there are many different definitions. One of them would be freedom from foreign domination. Okay, this is what July the 4th is about. Okay, we kicked the Brits out. We became our own independent nation. It is Independence Day. And under that definition of liberty by itself, we don't have to coordinate our military with NATO. We don't need a guest worker visa program for Latin America. We don't need any of that. It's America first, okay? And that is one way that the word liberty gets used, okay? excuse me, another definition of liberty, and a very important one, would be majority rule. Okay, you've got, you know, a democratic institutions. We have elected government. The obvious problem with this definition of liberty is, what if you're a minority? Okay, all right. You can envision, you know, what all the philosophers always talk about. They dream up these hypotheticals. What if you had a culture that was like 60% Nazi and 40% Jewish? Well, then in that case, you could perversely argue that gas chambers are an expression of democracy. Which is a ridiculous concept. So then that brings me to the third conception of liberty, which is what I'm going to focus on today, individual freedom. Freedom that resides within the unique individual and cannot be taken away by the majority. Okay, and that's the kind of liberty I'm talking about. Okay, so what are some of the criticisms of liberty that have come up in the last few years? Well, I want to mention one criticism. And I'm going to focus on some of the critiques, and some of them are things, serious critiques that we need to think about. I'm going to focus on some of the ones actually that come out of the left side of the political spectrum, because I want to do a kind of look in the mirror sort of thing with all of this, and not just say all the world's problems are caused by those bad guys out there, okay? One of the critiques of liberty is, and I'm going to mention this first criticism just so I can dismiss it, is it's an idea associated with European male philosophers in the 17th century, and we should reject it as an imposition of white patriarchal thinking on women and people of color, okay? Couple of problems with this. First of all, if you reject an idea because of the color of the skin of the person who said it, I don't know how we can talk, okay? So let me move on to a more serious criticism of that criticism, okay? And that is, it's simply not accurate, okay? Some of the greatest voices for individual liberty in American history have been people like Frederick Douglass and Margaret Fuller, okay? So this is a voice for liberty that comes out of like everywhere, a universal people all over the world. And some people might argue, Fuller and Douglass were talking about freedom for, the anti-slavery movement and freedom for women, you know, group freedom. And if you think that's what they were talking about, I would invite you to actually read their stuff, okay? Because it's a bit more to it than that. And so I will read some stuff for you. This is about Margaret Fuller. This is a Pulitzer Prize-winning biography of her that came out recently. And the author of this well-researched book, selecting out a quote to summarize the entire book at the beginning, this is something that Fuller wrote to her editor: "Where I make an impression, it must be by being most myself." Okay, and something else that's even clearer than that. She is famous for having written the first great feminist manifesto in America. It's called Women in the 19th Century. And it came from an article she wrote in The Dial, which was the Transcendentalist magazine, you know, back in the days with Emerson and Thoreau and all those guys. And she was the first editor-in-chief of that magazine. And she wrote an article in there that Horace Greeley then invited her to expand out into book length because it got so much attention. And here is something that she wrote in that article, and some of this has been, these are like excerpts from several sentences. "The liberation of many incarcerated souls, both female and male, would bring an era of freedom and new revelations when new individualities shall be developed in the actual world." So it is a call for human beings to bring forth their own individuality, their own uniqueness as a gift to the world. So there's group freedom is important. Individual freedom is what I'm focused on today, also important. Now, okay, so let's go on to what I consider a much more important criticism of the concept of liberty, and that is liberty by itself, disconnected from anything else, is selfish. I admit that. Okay, I'm free, this is a free country, I'm gonna do what I want, I don't have to wear a mask, you know, stuff like that. Okay, and that is a serious criticism. That's something we need to take seriously. And so, and this is something that Unitarian Universalist Association has been concerned about for quite a while, and they've written some stuff about that. And so I want to mention some of their criticisms and then offer a possible solution, I hope. A couple of years back, some of you may remember, UUA put out a document called Widening the Circle of Compassion, okay? And within that, I invite you to read, it's about 100 pages long, so I sat down and read the whole thing. I'm a nerd, I own it. But anyhow, within that, at the beginning, in the introductory section, there is a section called methodology. And this is part of their methodology. In other words, it's not a conclusion they arrived at after the study, it's an assumption they began with before the study. And don't take my word for anything, read this for yourself. In that section, they said that the free and responsible search for truth and meaning should remain within the boundaries of the collective. Boundaries and collective is their language. So just think about that, the impact of that. We have to stay within the boundaries of a collective, okay? And then further on, and some of you may remember who have been following this, in some of the earlier drafts of our new principles, I think, if I remember correctly, as recently as this past October, the free and the responsible search for truth and meaning was deleted out. It was not in there. It got put back in, and I think, and that is to UUA's credit, that they actually listened to the feedback that they were getting, and they made some modifications. They're still making modifications. They had a general assembly. They had, God, huge number of proposed amendments. So it's still a work in progress, but free and responsible search is back in there. And I must say the current version of the new principles is something I really like. I really, really do. I like our current principles also, okay, because the thing I like about our current principles is it's almost like a bunch of nested circles. It starts out and number one is like, the dignity of each person. Then it goes up to interpersonal, congregation, community, world, universe, cosmos. And it's sort of a wonderful unfolding. It has a great structure. But there is I think, critical defect in there. And I'm not the only one that said this. A lot of people have said this. The word love is not in there. It's not. And considering our ancestral tradition, the religion we came out of where God is love, that has concerned a lot of people for a long time. And the current principles, the reason I like them, and I'm going to be an advocate, just me, once again, where you use, think for yourself, that I'm an advocate for the new principles, even though I think there's some problems there too, but I don't need to get into that, is because of the way it centers on the word love. That's the primary, that's the main virtue, and everything else comes out from that. And I think that is a wonderful conception. That is a wonderful conception. So, all right, we've got liberty, we've got criticisms of liberty, and then all this discussion going on, and I think healthy exchange of ideas is wonderful. The debate around this was wonderful. It produced a lot of good stuff. So along comes the Supreme Court, okay, and you don't miss the water till the well runs dry. And so it's important to understand in the Supreme Court decision about abortion, it's important to understand what that says, and it relates directly to what I'm saying. That opinion did not say abortion is wrong. It did not say women should not get abortions. The opinion is entirely about who gets to decide, and it changed it from an individual right, not subject to majority approval, to a community decision by government, by elected representatives of government. It converted it from individual right to a group right, to a collective decision. That's all it did, okay? And you can see where that might lead, okay? That sort of reasoning might lead. And the decision itself says, we're not taking away women's freedom. Oh, no, because women can advocate and they can vote. They can still operate as a group. They can take part in the collective discussion. But they no longer get to decide as individuals. Right, think what that means, the removal of an individual right. You're now subject to whatever the Georgia General Assembly decides. If you live in another state, you may get another result. It's now a group decision. So, a lot of stuff here. All right. So what are the possible solutions to this quandary about liberty by itself is selfish, yet it seems like in some cases it's so necessary. How do we solve this? Well, there are a couple of different solutions that have been proposed by people a lot smarter than me and philosophers thinking about this for hundreds of years. One of them is to embrace the principle of universal liberty, not just personal, but individual liberty for all people, that you protect the other person's liberty just as much as you protect your own. Okay, an example as to how this would work out. Let's say you've got, imagine a person who, let's think back to early in the pandemic when no one knew exactly how it spread and there were no vaccinations and people were dying by the tens of thousands. And let's say you've got a person who doesn't want to wear a mask, okay? They say, I just don't believe in it. My personal individual choice in liberty is I don't like a mask. So you come up to a grocery store and there's a privately owned store. There's a sign on it that says mask required. You bust in, you know, you push the door open, you go in there and start shaking your fist. You know, the clerk comes over and says, you have to put on a mask. You punch the clerk. You all saw that viral video, I guess, of that happening. When I woke up this morning, this was a free country. All right, now that is liberty disconnected from anything else. Liberty just for me and not for anybody else. Okay, now let's take someone who doesn't like masks, doesn't believe in masks, but does believe in universal liberty, including the liberty of the store owner. All right, that person walks up to the door and says, I don't agree with that, I don't like that, but you know, this other person owns that store, they're paying the lease, I'm not, so I respect that person's rights and I'm gonna put on a mask. Okay, that's a different conception of liberty. Now, this idea of universal liberty, it has its limits because it's a wonderful thing, but there's no affirmative duty to help people. Okay, if you believe in everybody's free, we can all do whatever we want, you know, and if I see you drowning in a creek, I can walk on by. You know, I have no duty to you. So the solution that I would offer, based on UU principles, and principles that go all the way back for thousands of years, is simply to remember that the primary virtue is love, the secondary virtue is liberty. Liberty is hugely important. It's an incredibly important virtue, okay? But it is secondary to love, okay? That's the Rollins solution to this whole thing. Is, you know, I'm gonna be myself, I'm gonna do what I want, I'm gonna dress like a slob, you know, all of that kind of stuff. But, you know, I'm gonna respect other people's liberty and I will try not to do anything that violates the principle of love. I will not hurt another person or do least harm. Sometimes you have to, but okay. Now, so what I want to do now is I want to take this idea, since we are a church, and expand it up to a religious principle. Well, you know, what is religion? Because right now I've been talking about policy and politics, okay? But what are the religious implications of this? Well, first I would like to offer the insights of that great thinker and philosopher, Mr. Rogers, Fred Rogers. Okay, yeah, he's the greatest. And as a lot of you probably know, Fred Rogers was an ordained Presbyterian minister. So the conception he's gonna work from is you are a child of God, you are made in the image of God, you are a divine being, okay? And so the message, as I'm sure you all know, that he would communicate to children, placing that idea as early as possible in their impressionable little minds is, you are special and wonderful just like you are. You get to be, as Margaret Fuller would say, most yourself. You get to be just what you are. You don't have to fit in some box designed by somebody else. You're special. I've always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. Okay, so that's the Fred Rogers principle, and that is a principle of liberty, of individual liberty. You get to be who you are, okay? The second example of expanding this up into a religious principle is liberation theology, which I assume you've all, a lot of you have heard about. And this is an idea that came out from a Latin American priest named Gustavo Gutierrez. And he wrote a book a long time ago, which I immediately grabbed and read in translation at the time. This is decades ago. The translated title is A Theology of Liberation. And the idea here is, and I'm going to oversimplify greatly, this is not doing justice to the entire book. When you think of liberation politics, you conceive of, you've got this oppressed person, and around this person there's a kind of prison, the prison walls. It might be debt bondage, you know, in a place like Pakistan, a carpet mill. It might be, say a fascist land reform program in Latin America. Your ancestral lands are taken away. You're now a tenant worker dripping with pesticides that chemical companies can't sell in the United States, so they sell it overseas. Don't get me started on all of that. But in any case, you've got this oppressed person. And there are walls around this person, walls of oppression, and liberation politics, you break down these walls. So you liberate that person, okay? Liberation theology includes liberation politics, but it's the idea that there is another prison inside of you. There are prison walls around your heart, okay? Greed, vanity, selfishness, fear, that hostility, all of those kind of things. There are walls around your heart. And to be theologically or spiritually liberated is to break down those walls. So that then once those walls are broken down, which is an act of liberation, it is a liberty principle, at that point, you're open to the love flowing in. And you can put love and liberty together. Okay, that's liberation theology. Now I want to come to the point where I just have to say something controversial because y'all know me and I'm just going to do something like that. I would like to, this is all great theory, I would like to apply this to ourselves, okay? Because believing in liberty and believing in love at the same time necessarily implies respectful disagreement. We have to learn to disagree with each other, strongly disagree, but do it in a way that is respectful. And the example, since I've been talking about our new principles and all the controversy around that, I want to use that as an example. Folks, I love the new principles. I really do. I hope they pass. I'm going to be happy either way. I like our current ones as well. I hope they pass, but I hope that I would never say to someone who disagreed with me, you're just afraid of change. Okay, that is a comment on a person's character. That says absolutely nothing about that person's reasons. Okay, respectful disagreement is you don't talk about a person's motivations, you don't insult their character, you talk about the particular reasons that they brought up. So I would hope that I would never say, oh, there'll always be some people who resist change. You're just afraid of change, okay? So let's, to illustrate what that can feel like when you're on the other end of it, let's flip that around. Let's practice the golden rule, okay, the rule of reciprocity. This is like the fundamental formula of all morality, okay? Let's say you're talking to a group of people and you say, the Supreme Court has changed some longstanding rules on abortion, affirmative action. I don't agree with them changing the rules. And someone says to you, well, I guess you're just afraid of change. No, that's not what's going on here, not at all, okay? So what I'm hoping, and you can please come to service reflection and say, Rollin, you're an idiot, okay? You don't bring a knife to a gunfight. We got to get out there and be disrespectful with these guys. I don't know, whatever. But if I'm going to practice what I preach, then if you disagree with anything I've said, come to service reflection and tell me, really, okay? And then we'll just see how that goes. So. And also that stuff about insulting a person if you disagree with them. Barack Obama has the greatest expression for it. He calls it buzzkill. He did a podcast on that one time I listened to, which was hysterical. And that's the idea that, somebody disagrees with you, even if they say something quite stupid, and instead of addressing the point they're making, you go in for the buzzkill. You know, you talk about that person's character, okay, or motives, or, you know, that sort of thing. So, where does this leave us? Okay, I would just suggest that if someone said to me, Rollin, for you, what does UUism stand for? I would say, love and liberty in that order. All the rest is commentary. Okay, thank you.
Let us extinguish our chalice together using the words found in your printed bulletin. We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we carry in our hearts until we are together again. Our benediction today is called Into the World Singing by Don Skye Cooley. Let us go out into the world singing. Let us go out into the world singing songs that proclaim liberty, songs that turn ashes into garlands, songs that bind up the afflicted and those who mourn, songs that, like oaks, have roots that go deep and stand strong. Let us go out into the world singing. We know these songs. They vibrate through time in our very souls. They are the songs that give us life. They are the songs that give us meaning. They are the songs that give us purpose. Now it is our turn to take these life-giving songs out into the world. Let us go now, singing these songs with voices deep and strong, and may the world join us in praise and in celebration and in love. Go in peace and enjoy your week.
The Unitarian Universalist Metro Atlanta North Congregation of Roswell, Georgia, thanks you for listening to the Human Podcast. Background music, courtesy of Tim Moore from Pixabay.